Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, July the 4th. Happy 4th of July. Do people in the dog breeding business have too much independence? We heard from a guest a week or so ago on this program who said the industry is not regulated adequately, leading to unscrupulous or perhaps unknowing people breeding too many dogs, raising too many puppies in substandard conditions, leading to health problems and worse in the puppies, and cruel treatment and a dismal life for the dogs being bred. Critics call these operations puppy mills. And there's an effort underway in Wisconsin to get some sort of legislation on the books regulating the industry, like perhaps requiring larger operations to undergo inspections and have standards to follow and licensing. We will talk with a guest this hour who says dog breeders don't need any additional regulation by the state, that there are already laws on the books to prevent animal cruelty, and new rules are unnecessary. We wonder if you agree or not and what questions you have. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. We talked with a guest 2 weeks ago, the executive director of the Wisconsin Puppy Mills Project, and we also heard from a state lawmaker who was sympathetic to her cause. And we got a call or two during that program saying, you've got to have the other side, and our guest today was recommended. She is Tracy Johnston, Vice President of the Dog Federation of Wisconsin. She joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So, what exactly is the Dog Federation of Wisconsin?
The Dog Federation of Wisconsin represents all responsible dog owners and not just the hobbyists. What we mean by responsible is that the owners practice humane animal care. They ensure that their dogs do not run at large. They clean up after their dogs. They don't allow their dogs to disturb their neighbors, and they take the time to train their dogs so that they are a welcome addition to society.
Yeah, it's not you're not involved in breeding then, per se?
I am a hobbyist, and I have bred a few litters, but I breed for myself.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is I want to establish a line of dogs where I have total control over their health and their biddability. Biddability is big in my particular breed. These are things that most pet owners would not really care about because they just want a family pet to hang out on the sofa with them.
Yeah. Well, our guest that we had on from this Puppy Mills project said that she was not concerned about reputable breeders or those breeders who limit the frequency of litters and who are trying to promote breed quality through very careful practices. But she says that there are those dog breeders who are not doing that. Don't we have to do something about dog breeders who are not as careful as you?
You know, there are always going to be good breeders and bad breeders. But one person's definition of a good breeder is going to be different from another person's idea of a good dog breeder. And that is the problem. You can't make an assumption that if a person has X number of dogs that they must be a substandard breeder who practices tax evasion. And so far, previous bills, including the bills that are being written right now, they say that any breeder basically is guilty until proven innocent, and it's wrong, and it's against our constitutional rights. There are existing laws. USDA licensed facilities, there are many USDA licensed facilities in the state of Wisconsin. They have standards of care that a hobbyist cannot possibly meet in a home environment.
What do you mean, because they would be too costly?
No, it's not costly. Because those rules are written for commercial facilities, one of their rules state that the animals must be kept on surfaces impervious to moisture. Well, you can't do that in your house unless you want to put in floor drains and rip up your carpeting.
Yeah. Now, so I'm not really familiar with all of the rules and regulations currently on the books. The guest we spoke to before said that Wisconsin virtually has no rules except anti-cruelty rules. And you know, that's really very hard to prove. It has to already be some sort of a criminal case in order for those rules to take effect.
Well, and why is that wrong?
Yeah, well, she's saying that if these breeders had to undergo inspections and meet minimal standards, that we could prevent the cruelty from happening in the first place.
Okay, so basically you're taking away Fourth Amendment rights because you are guilty until proven innocent, just because you breed dogs. And I'm sorry, but that's wrong.
Yeah, we're going to take a weather break, and we'll wonder what listeners think and welcome your questions for our guest, Tracy Johnston, Vice President of the Dog Federation of Wisconsin, who is saying that new rules do not need to be put on the books to regulate so-called puppy mills. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 17 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, the 4th of July. Coming up this afternoon, Ben Marins is with you. After 4, Ben's guest explains why America won its war for independence and why the British, despite many advantages, lost it. So a history lesson for you after 4 o'clock this afternoon on this Independence Day. We are talking with a guest who says that dog breeders shouldn't be regulated or have to face extra regulations by the state of Wisconsin. We talked with a guest recently who said the state should regulate dog breeders to minimize so-called puppy mills. Our guest today says new rules are unnecessary, that adequate laws already exist on the books, and we wonder what you think and what questions you have. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Tracy Johnston, Vice President of the Dog Federation of Wisconsin. Another issue that came up in the program a couple of weeks ago, Tracy, was that there are certain, the rules right now are minimal, you know, food and water and shelter. But what about that animal that perhaps an unscrupulous breeder has, maybe even more than one animal, just kept in a cage all of its life, churning out litter after litter after litter? Stories told of a dog who really didn't even, you know, see the outside for 5 years or more because it was spending its life in a cage having puppies. Is that okay?
Of course it's not okay. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to realize that this whole problem comes about because of consumer education. There is not enough consumer education out there. People have stated that they really support the hobbyists, and that's where everyone should get their puppies from. The problem is that hobbyists cannot meet the demand of the general public for puppies because of the way we do breed our dogs. You know, why don't we make the consumer responsible for their actions instead of trying to protect people from their own lack of judgment and desire for instant gratification? You know, it just, do we really want to live in a nanny government because the consumer will not take the time to research purchasing a puppy? I don't think so.
And you are convinced that the rules that are being drafted, I know when we talked, there was no specific bill on the books or you know.
As far as I know, there still isn't.
Yeah.
And that's why we are very concerned about what could be written. For example, past bills, they did not take into account canine diversity. You can't raise a litter of toy dogs the same way you'd raise a litter of sporting dogs or, you know, Arctic breeds. And the rules committee that had their standards of care took into account, again, they based their standards of care on USDA licensing requirements. And because they talk about putting in X amount number of dogs. I believe one of the numbers recently thrown out there was 35 puppies in a year sold would subject you to licensing.
Mm-hmm.
Within the hobbyist community, it is very common for people to do what they call co-ownerships, where a dog will have multiple owners They may live at one house, but they have multiple owners. The problem with the numerical limitations is that, you know, if someone else has this dog at their home, will any litters that that dog have count against the other owners?
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, there's so much more into this, and many people who are not in the dog community aren't aware of these things. And we believe in animal welfare. We do not believe in animal cruelty, you know, by any sense of the imagination. What we want the people to do, we need to make the consumer understand there are different places where they can purchase a puppy from. But people are not going to want to be on a waiting list for 1 to 2 years in order to get a puppy from a reputable breeder.
Yeah, let me take some calls. Jan in Wausau is with us. Hi, Jan.
Good morning.
Morning.
I just had to call in. Why wouldn't you want this regulated? Why wouldn't you want the puppy's care to come first over carpeting, drains, consumer education? All the consumer knows is that he walks into a house and he sees this dog. He probably buys it to save it, and he ends up paying thousands of dollars in bills to keep this dog alive because the person who is selling the dog, all they want is the money. The dog does not come first in their life. And you have to watch how you say hobbyist. I get real concerned about that.
Why?
Because it's always the money. It's always the money. And the dog is last on their care list.
Yeah. Well, can you help us understand, Tracy Johnston, why you wouldn't want that unscrupulous breeder to be put out of business somehow?
I believe that if people continue to buy puppies from a place like this, they will continue to be in business. So why do people continue to buy puppies? If there is no supply and demand, these bills will go, they'll have to go out of business.
But why don't we shut them down? We have to do that. All of us have to do that. You know, we have to shut them down because that's the only way it's going to work.
Yeah, and Jan, you don't go for the we can shut them down by buying from them.
No, that is not going to work.
Why not?
People are going to continue to buy from them, to save them, because it's always the money.
Well, people will continue to buy puppies, and you're saying, Tracy Johnston, this is the consumer's responsibility to research a place and make sure that they're not buying from a bad dog breeder.
That is correct.
Henrietta in Elm Grove is next. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. On Monday, Joy, your guest was discussing the budget concerns in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're hearing about the shortfalls for education, for insurance, how can we possibly consider adding another layer of redundant bureaucracy that's going to be costful when there are these USDA rules already in existence? And for the last caller who thinks hobbyists make any money or are doing any of this for money, a true hobbyist is spending so much more than they would ever collect in placing puppies, that it's just mind-boggling.
Are you a hobbyist too, Henrietta?
I am.
Yeah. Tracy Johnston, want to comment?
She's 100% correct. 100% correct. And the one thing that people seem to not understand is that laws really need to be based on scientific needs and knowledge, not emotion. And emotion may fuel the need for change, and emotion may change the tide of public opinion. But emotion cannot be the direct foundation for creating a new law.
Yeah, there was a law on the books for this, but the money for it back in, I think it was the McCallum administration,
yes.
Then again, the money was vetoed out of the budget for, I guess, that very reason, that there wasn't the money, at least according to the governors at the time, to do it.
Correct. That is very correct. And as a taxpayer in the state of Wisconsin, I really object. Again, it goes back to nanny government. And, you know, why should I have to pay because of irresponsible people? I don't believe that's right.
Next, we go to Edith in Madison. Hi, Edith.
Yeah, hi. a few months ago, I contracted with a woman who I knew was going to be a very caring, a very sensitive dog breeder, to buy one of her puppies. And I was told by this woman that I had to pay for the puppy when the puppy was only 4 weeks old. Well, I complied with that. I paid the full price, only to see that when that puppy matured to 8 weeks and could leave its mother, that unfortunately this puppy had developed very antisocial personality traits. It was very fearful, very timid, very shy, excessively so, to the point where when I went to visit the puppy at 8 weeks, it took that dog 6 hours to even want to climb up into my lap. And so at that point, because it was the first time I had seen the dog, I refused the dog. I said, no, I can't do this, because every dog book I had read said, never buy a timid, shy dog. That dog will undoubtedly become hostile and antisocial. And I knew I could not have a dog like that. Other than that, there was nothing wrong. However, I had already paid full price for the dog. I had already paid for all the dog's shots, the trips to the vet, plus $120 a month boarding fees, and all I got back was two-thirds of the full price I had paid for
the dog kennel. Yeah, that sounds more like a, I'm not sure this is regarding puppy mills.
I know it isn't, but I'm asking the question, what should proper business practices be in the sale of puppies? Shouldn't a person have the right, when the dogs are ready to go, that if they find that their choice is not a good one, that they are able to have their money refunded?
Yeah. Do you want to address that, Tracy Johnson?
Well, unfortunately, there are hobbyists that, you know, I may not agree with the way that they pet out their puppies. There are very few breeders that I am acquainted with that will take a down payment. The reason why is because we do puppy testing when the puppies are 7 weeks old. We match the family with the puppy based on the puppy's response to this 10-item test that we do with them. We find out how biddable they are, what type of working ethic they have, et cetera, et cetera. I would never take a down payment for a puppy because I could not guarantee that you would get a puppy out of that litter. Yeah.
I have to hold it here for now. We have news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio coming up, and then we'll continue talking with Tracy Johnston, Vice President of the Dog Federation of Wisconsin, who opposes efforts to put more regulation on dog breeders in the state. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Good to have you with us on this 4th of July. It's 6:36. We're getting another side to the question about whether we should regulate the dog breeding industry in Wisconsin. We heard from a guest recently who said the state should better regulate dog breeders to minimize so-called puppy mills, where dogs are raised in what she considered substandard conditions. Our guest today says new rules are unnecessary. And we welcome your questions. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Tracy Johnston is our guest, Vice President of the Dog Federation of Wisconsin. Got an email from Kim in Neenah, and she wonders if the USDA already has sufficient rules in place, why do puppy mills exist in the first place? Do you want to handle that one, Tracy Johnston?
Well, many times the general public does not understand that you can ask the USDA to see if someone should be licensed by their department. And people may see substandard conditions, but they don't realize that they can contact the USDA and find out, number one, if this place is licensed by their department. If so, they can file a complaint. They can also ask the USDA that if they are not, would they please come and inspect the premises to find out if this person really does need to be licensed.
Yeah, the USDA rules apply to large operations.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, the other thing, I have to get this in because it's very important. Based on the amount of media attention this topic has gotten, people stated that if the breeders aren't doing anything wrong, why should they mind licensing and inspections?
Mm-hmm.
And what many people do not realize that many communities in Wisconsin do not allow a business to be operated in a residential area. And if you become licensed, you are now a business.
And you can't operate out of your home is what
Correct.
You're saying.
Correct. Basically, you have to give up your hobby.
Yeah.
If you breed dogs.
The same listener, Kim and Nina, wonders why don't responsible dog breeders in Wisconsin help legislators write a bill that they can live with?
Well, the reason, you know, I don't have the answer, but I can tell you that there are any additional laws in regards to animal husbandry cannot be applied to every species. You can't raise cats in the same manner that you would raise dogs or reptiles. During the last 20 years or so, there has been a concentrated effort by animal rights groups to make owning, breeding, and hunting with an animal very difficult by introducing feel-good legislation. These groups also try to eliminate all types of animal testing and how to dictate to people how to raise livestock without any qualifications to do so. And you don't want to take a chance of intrusive legislation that will ultimately take away your hobby. For an example, in 2006, now because my dogs are registered with AKC, there were 531 AKC events in this state. There were 73,000 participants, and based on a very conservative economic impact figure of $100 a participant, they brought $7 million into the state economy. So if Wisconsin creates more laws to make it difficult for a hobbyist to participate in their hobby, the state is actually losing a lot of money.
Our next caller who's been waiting is Joy in Slinger. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I like your name.
Yeah, it's amazing how that name gets around. Say, I got really upset when I saw heard the woman this morning about it's all about the money. And it's not all about the money. It's the fact that breeding dogs is very expensive. And a lot of people don't understand that. I had three breedings of puppies and didn't get a puppy out of it, and I was $2,000 in the hole. So when people say it's all about the money and that you're making money off the backs of puppies, it's not true. Breeding is very difficult. Most hobby breeders and most reputable breeders, they do testing on both the female and the male dogs. And they do all of this in preparation for a possible litter. A lot of times in small breed dogs, you only get 1 to 5 puppies in a litter. And all of that testing will cost more than what the general public will want to pay for that particular puppy with all that testing that is involved. And commercial breeders are able to produce larger quantities of dogs that the general public wants at a price that they can afford. And, you know, it's just something that they fail to realize. I hear all the time this, it's all about the money. It's not about the money. Hobbyists lose money with every breeding.
Yeah. And you want to comment on that, Tracy Johnston?
For the most part, she's correct. I really did not want to know how much money I spent on average a year for my dogs. And I spend, depending on, because I have performance dogs, I do agility, I do obedience, I participate in hunt tests and confirmation, and I only have three dogs. I spend between $3,000 and $7,000 a year on my dogs.
Yeah. So and help so, us understand why you do that. Why do you want to lose that money?
Because it's my passion. I love my dogs. I love the camaraderie. The hunt tests are wonderful. Agility. It's something that you can do with your animal, and you get such a sense of satisfaction when you do well. And you know that's my hobby. It's my passion.
Yeah, and, but I'm thinking that when people say it's all about the money, they're pointing the finger not at you or Joy you that, but they're pointing the finger at the breeder that has several cages of dogs just churning out the litter after litter after litter for the bottom line.
But you know, in Wisconsin, it's not against the law for a business to make a profit. You know, I mean, if you didn't have...
I don't think it was necessarily... All right, not disparaging anyone for making a profit, but disparaging someone for making that profit on the backs of the health and well-being of the animal.
Okay. But farmers make a profit. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to sell their animals and be in business as farmers.
Yeah. You know, Kim and Nina had a lot of questions in her email, and the other one that she had was, if you truly love dogs, don't you feel a little guilty fighting against puppy mill legislation? Maybe, Tracy, you want to start with that?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And the reason why is because people are not aware of the animal rights agenda. They don't want people to have pets. And this is... It's not about the health and welfare of the dogs. This is about legislation that is taking away my hobby in small incremental bits. There's legislation in California. They want to spay and neuter dogs and cats over the age of 6 months of age. New Jersey, Ohio, Minnesota, the District of Columbia. All of these states right now, we're all fighting the same battle, and that is the animal rights agenda. Yeah. And again, it goes back to consumer education. If we make the consumer responsible for their actions, and if they continue to purchase puppies based on their desire for instant gratification, or for that matter, to save the puppies from that environment, they are helping to keep these substandard facilities in business.
Talking with Tracy Johnston, Vice President of the Dog Federation of Wisconsin, who is arguing against legislation that is being drafted, or at least thought about, that would somehow regulate dog breeders to minimize or put puppy mills out of business. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We welcome your thoughts and questions for her, wondering if you think such legislation is needed or not, and why or why not. Tracy Johnston says new rules are unnecessary, that adequate laws are already on the books. And she says consumers should be better educated about where they are buying their puppies and don't buy a puppy from a puppy mill. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 13 minutes before 7 o'clock. Coming up after 7, we'll go on a road trip and explore the Lincoln Highway, the first transcontinental highway, coming up after 7 o'clock. Talking with Tracy Johnston, Vice President of the Dog Federation of Wisconsin, for the rest of this hour, talking about proposed or at least legislation that is being considered that would regulate dog breeders in Wisconsin to minimize so-called puppy mills. Our guest saying that new laws are unnecessary, that adequate laws are already on the books, and any attempt to regulate this industry threatens her interests her hobby unnecessarily. Betty in Superior, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I was just wondering, you know, we make regulations and standards for, like, someone can't open a nursing home and find out later that people are getting substandard care. Just because they're animals doesn't mean we should do less for them. You know, and this lady saying it's not about the money, well, no, but she has chosen to spend thousands on her dogs. And that is her choice. She can do that if she wants to, but just walking out of somewhere with poor conditions for the dog and not buying them there doesn't mean that's going to stop them from doing what they're doing.
Tracy Johnston?
I still stand by, if there are no customers, there's no business, and why would someone try to run a business if they're not going to make any money?
Yeah. Kelly in Sussex sent an email. If the health and well-being of the animals is all of our main concern, any reputable breeder should not be opposed to providing healthy conditions and or inspections or regulations of those conditions. What do they have to hide?
Okay, again, I go back to the fact that many communities in our state, you cannot have a business in a residential area. And if you become licensed, you're now a business.
Dave and Colby, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. We run a small breeding facility, and my future mother-in-law does the same. Hers is quite extensive. Some people may consider her a puppy mill, but you know, her dogs live in the house with her. Some of ours live in the house. Some of ours are in kennels outside. But what we do is we sell our pets to people with a contract that states that if you're buying a pet puppy, it comes with a spay or neuter contract, and they have a certain amount of time to do that. Otherwise, they're considered a breeding dog. And then we charge considerable more to somebody who plans on breeding, so that we try to eliminate the backyard breeder, somebody who's like, oh, we'll just, you know, buy this puppy and we'll breed it and we'll make, you know, more money off of breeding. So, you know, we'll charge up to several thousand dollars for a dog because it's going to a breeder rather than $200-$300 for a pet.
Mm-hmm.
To try to keep, you know, to keep the price down so that people will buy our dogs, but yet...
To limit the competition, Dave?
Not really limit the competition. Make more people aware that, you know, it's not just throwing a couple dogs together and make some money. And
so is your point that a large breeder is not necessarily an irresponsible breeder?
Correct. And the other thing, too, is, you know, the point was just made about you know, having inspections done and stuff. Any breeder that is with, like, AKC or I don't know if any of the other registries do it, but they do come in and do inspections already. They check over the paperwork. Your dogs, you know, everything has to be up to date, and who you sold them dogs to and everything. And they also look at the conditions of what your dogs are. How they live, how they're taken care of, and if you don't come up to what they think is standard, they just take you off the list. They will not let you register.
Well, if you don't have that AKC connection, Dave, what would be wrong with you and or your mother having those same types of standards that you have to follow to make sure that the animals are well cared for? Do you have any problem with a state law that would put some sort of rules in place for operations like yours?
No, as long as they're realistic. A lot of people believe that, you know, if you have more than a couple dogs, you can't take care of them.
How many do you have?
We have 17, mm-hmm. And my mother-in-law has around 50, and hers are all, you know, in the house throughout the day. You know, they're all given turns to have their time in the house, and and stuff like that. And, you know, some of ours, like I said, live right in the house with us. Some of ours are strictly outside dogs that, you know, they have their own building heated, stuff like that. So,
Know, well, I appreciate your call because I, it's nice to hear from someone who has a lot of animals like this. Do you, Tracy Johnston, have any comment? A large breeder is not necessarily a bad breeder or a puppy mill?
Well, you know, that's entirely true. You know, I can handle X amount of dogs. Other people, you know, if they don't work full time and if there's a husband and a wife and they can devote all of their spare time, let's say a retired couple, they could have and care for properly many more dogs than I could. And that's part of the matter. That's the big problem with, you know, basing laws based on X number of dogs. I do want to point out, though, with any bill that is introduced, sometimes it's not the bill that you have to worry about it, but it's actually the standards of care that are written after the fact. And many people are not aware that the standards of care, the last committee, there were only two or three people on that committee who had ever even bred a dog. So what qualifications did they have to write standards of care for all these animals? They truly weren't qualified. And that is probably a bigger fear than an actual bill, is what's going to happen with the standards of care that are written after the fact.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Dave. I'm going to have other callers to go to. Amy in Milwaukee, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have three dogs. And each one of them came from a rescue. All of them were puppy mill dogs. And there are thousands and thousands of puppy mill dogs that are taken into rescues, many of them put down each year nationally. If the current legislation was sufficient, this wouldn't be happening. And I would like to say the fact that your guest continues to refer to her dogs as a hobby, to me, expresses exploitation, and I just like to sort of part and listen to your comments off the air with a quote from Gandhi, who I think was an admirable human being, who said the evolution of a society can be judged by the way it treats its most vulnerable creatures. Thank you.
Yeah. Why would there be so many of these animals in rescues or being put down if current legislation was sufficient, Tracy Johnston?
Again, consumer education. These are irresponsible owners. Perhaps they are not doing enough of every breed recognized by the AKC has certain tendencies. And when people do not take the time to research the different breeds of dogs, some of these dogs have inherent personalities where, like in some of the terrier breeds, they can be a tougher dog. And in the sporting breeds, you're going to have dogs that maybe are very clingy or not so much clingy as they really want to do for you and they have to have a job. Herding breeds, they may end up hurting your children because that is what they were bred to do. And people need to really research all the different types of breeds that are out there to know what's going to work well with their family. Some dogs bark based on their breed almost continually. You know, and people need to do this. They need to do research.
Yeah. Margaret in Whitewater, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I am totally in favor of legislation, and I just think that possibly this whole problem could be resolved if you just wrote criteria in there to be exempted from the law for hobbyists, small, you know, maybe six dogs. I know she doesn't like the quantity thing, but that's too bad. You know, six dogs breeding twice a year or whatever, and that's what a hobbyist is, because there's just, I mean, the one gentleman who called with all those dogs, he said he'd be in favor of laws because he's already following those procedures. So there are way too many dogs out there being bred that really, really are not doing a good job. And one thing she did say about people doing the writing after the fact about these bills, I find that hard to believe because I sat on a state board for licensing, and everybody in that room except for the person taking the information was a licensed at the time. It was massage therapy, and they were very, very clear that, you know, they really wanted to have that criteria of people who worked in the industry. So I find it hard to believe that would be any different for that.
Yeah.
And if that
Margaret,
was,
I get you. And we have less than a minute for our guests to respond to your couple of points there. Why not just exempt hobbyists like you from a law like this, just to make sure the others aren't causing problems?
You know, we have suggested that, and I don't know why the legislative people will not take that into consideration. I truly don't. We have written many suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
But, as of now, there aren't any bills that have been introduced yet. We don't know what these bills are going to say. One congressperson wants every breeder regulated. Another set want breeders that have X amount of dogs on a premises licensed. We don't know. We can't respond because we don't know what the bills are going to say.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time to at least talk about the issue in general. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Tracy Johnston, Vice President of the Dog Federation of Wisconsin. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing the program and to Christina Taylor for on-air production. Thank you for listening and for calling in. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.